Good morning. This is Belle Stock. Vi Marcus and I are interviewing Mr. Miller for the NCJW. And today is Wednesday, November the 20th. Okay, good morning, Roland. I think we ought to start now, maybe where we left off when we were talking to you the other day. Will you go ahead and tell us your story, what you did, how you did, anything you want to say in your own words?
In September of 1919, we moved from DeWitty Street to Ralph Street in the East End. At the time we moved, I attended Fifth Avenue High School and was on the athletic teams. I was captain of the ice hockey team at Fifth Avenue High. And by the way, that team was an all-Jewish hockey team, probably the only one in existence since and before. And we did a creditable association for the high school. I was also on the baseball team and the track team. When we moved, it was urged that I attend Peabody High School, but having been on the athletic teams at Fifth Avenue, I decided to continue my education at Fifth Avenue, where I had all my friends. On Ralph Street, we had a large home, and at the time, my older brothers and older sister, Celia, were not living with us. We had a large yard and built a garage in the back of the house facing Fairmont Street. At the time we moved on Ralph Street, we had a living room, a parlor, and a kitchen, and an entrance to the side hall, and four rooms on the second, and about three in a larger room on the third floor. At the time we lived on Ralph Street, we also had three pianos in the house. A baby grand on the first, a baby grand on the second, and an upright piano on a third in the large room. Most of our social family life, of course, was spent in the large kitchen. We also had a large porch on the back, but at the time we did not have a sukkah as we had on DeWitty Street.
Go on, just go on, just go on with your narrative. This is very, very good.
At the time I attended high school, I took a streetcar to Fifth Avenue High. And in connection with my athletic association with the high school, I got up about 5 in the morning to practice at Duquesne Garden, where the ice rink was and where we played all our home games. At that time, we practiced our hockey, ice hockey, at Duquesne Garden, the Carnegie Mellon. At that time called Carnegie Tech, also had a hockey team which practiced at Duquesne Garden, and occasionally we practiced together.
Go on, you're doing beautifully. Just family, go on. Right? Take your time. If you want to stop for a minute, that's perfectly all right. We have lots of tape. All right, no, I'm not going to stop. You just think, and we'll just let the time go by. You don't have to be in a hurry.
At the time we lived on Robb Street, as our sisters, who were married, occasionally lived at the home between their living elsewhere, and the family life was more together at that time because of the crowded condition. But it was a happy life. My sister Rebecca played the piano, and we all stood around singing songs. I occasionally did my one-finger job on the piano. At the time we lived on Robb Street, I attended the University of Pittsburgh. First, the academic humanities section, and then after 2 years in the business school, where I received a degree of Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. From there, I went to the law school at the University of Pittsburgh and graduated in 1928. At the time we lived on Dinwiddie Street in 1928, my father became ill with cancer of the esophagus, and it was a very trying time until his death in 1930. After law school and after taking the bar exams in 1928, I was in not too good a condition mentally. That is, I was pretty well dejected because of my father's conditions. So my brother Lou, my oldest brother, asked me to come down to Atlantic City in his place to stay in the fall and the winter. At the time I came back, I decided in March to be sworn in by the Supreme Court, after which I opened an office with my friends who had left an office open for me in 1928 after I took my bar exam. So that I opened up an office in March of 1929. And about 2 months after that, I got a call from one of my father's, my brother's attorney, asked me if I wanted to try a case in the criminal court. And I said, why, of course I did. I wanted to get the practice and trial work started. So much to my amazement, when I interviewed the criminal, I found it was a rape case, which almost dropped me over, because a trial work was, and is, you know, foreign to law students. But in the trial of the case, the assistant district attorney went to the judge, who was Judge Gray at the time, and told him it was my first case. So that the judge was a little lenient in my arguments and my address to the jury and my questioning. And the assistant didn't object too much to my questioning, which he may have been well to do. After that, my trial work was very simple. My trial work continued for a while in a private practice. While I was practicing, I got a call from the owner of the Construction Digest, where I had a legal column in his Construction Digest paper, which went out to all contractors, and the column was such that I received questions through the mail and telephone calls about various legal problems which they may have had, and I answered it, which was good publicity for me. About in the fall of 1935, I received a call from Edward Jones, who was formerly the editor of the Pittsburgh Dispatch, and asked me to come to Harrisburg to be his counsel and administrative assistant to help him out in his work as administrator of the Federal Work Progress Administration. When I went there, my wife, Sylvia, came to Harrisburg in December of 1935, and we went housekeeping at that time. We stayed there for 4 years in Harrisburg, which was one of the happiest years of our life. I wanted to say before that, I met Sylvia about 3 months after my father had passed away in 1930, and immediately fell in love with her at first sight. We were married in 1933 secretly for about 2 years because it was not possible for her to teach and support her family. At that time, the school board had a ruling that married teachers could not teach school. After Harrisburg, I was associated as a counsel to the collector of internal revenue, Walter Miller, no relation, and that was in 1940. Oh, before that, I want to say that I went with the department, the United States Department of Interior, in their compliance section of the Guffey Coal Act, and stayed there for about 6 months until I went to the Treasury Department as an assistant and counsel to the collector of internal revenue. During my stay there, I often helped the United States attorney in his tax problems. He consulted me and we worked together often. In 1946, he asked me, in the fall, he asked me whether I would come up to his office as an assistant United States attorney in the condemnation section, which is the eminent domain a unit of the federal government, and also to help him with his tax work as a trial lawyer in the condemnation section and the appeal work in the tax division, so that he got me an appointment to the United States Department of Justice in Washington, which they immediately assigned me to his office in Pittsburgh, in which office I remained until the winter of 1946, doing trial work for the United States Attorney's Office. I might say that during one of my cases, when I was trying a condemnation case in the federal court before a jury and Judge McVicker, my wife Sylvia gave birth to our son Holmes Miller, in the night of November 20th, after I had addressed and made my closing remarks to the jury, then Holmes was born that night, and the next morning I walked into court bleary-eyed with a box of cigars and offered one to the judge, who almost fell off his seat. And I told him what happened, and he congratulated me, and I passed cigars out to all the attorneys and the opposing attorneys. I left the United States Attorney's Office in 1946 in the winter, and when my brother Bill asked me to come with the firm because they needed an attorney to handle the various plans with the cities and the townships, and to prepare all the deeds and various other legal work with the firm, which I attended to. Later on, I went into the real estate development business with my brother Bill, and I also was associated with Ornheim and Neely. With Ornheim and Neely, I did a lot of appraisal work. I did all the appraisals for Ornheim and Neely on the urban redevelopment work in Allegheny Center. We had, I believe there were several hundred buildings which I appraised. And also, after that, I was asked by Ornheim and Neely to do the negotiating of the purchase of properties for the urban redevelopment work in the Bluff Street project, in which Duquesne University had some interest. After that, I went into the commercial brokerage business with J.J. Gumberg for a while, and also with Medwick Company. I retired in the December of 1972, and have been inactive, I might say, although I'm not actually retired. I'm in an inactive status because I pay my dues yearly.
Thank you very, very much. That's wonderful to hear all these names that you're associated with. You may give us a point or two looking for somebody else to also interview. Do you want to go back, Roland, now, and tell us a few more things that happened to your family along the way? Like all these time that you were doing your law work and everything, what were your brothers doing? You did tell us about Lou, and you did tell us about Bill. Were they doing something special, or were they in the company business?
Retired. He was in Atlantic City and also later removed to New Rochelle. We had less contact with him then, although we had more contact with Jean, his daughter.
Do you want to tell us some more about your other siblings? What did they do in the meantime?
Well, I don't want to get into some of them were divorced.
Maybe in some kind of business endeavor. Were they all in the real estate? Were they all in the building? Where were they? You know, what else did they do?
Well, Bill, of course, and Aaron were in the building business, and they built a lot of developments of their own, like in Meadowcroft and Mount Lebanon, and they did the various work in the Shippensburg State Teachers College. They did work on the rivers and the various housing units there, and we had the Steelwood here, of course, which was built, and was after my father passed away. We built this, and I did all the planning work with the city. You know, you have arguments, they want you to take certain lots off and shape them different. And I did all that consulting work for him. And then we went to the banks, we borrowed monies, you know.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've done in retirement?
Well, I didn't do well.
Were you involved in
I broke my shoulder.
Okay.
Over there.
Okay. All right. Would you like to tell us
anything? My hobby, of course, is reading.
Yes, ma'am.
I read books and books and books. All kinds. Political novels.
Where's your park?
Reading is my hobby. I also sew. In fact, I was repairing my underwear yesterday. So he gave me an underwear project. I sewed all the elastic and the underwear ones.
Well, he's done a lot of...
I'm pretty good at sewing.
I would like to interject something personal that might bring something more to your mind. Do you remember that you did a petty point of my name? And I wear it all the time so that if somebody else doesn't remember who I am, I look down and I remember.
I say that while I was in college, I used to draw for the Pet Panther comic magazine. I contributed comic sketches for them and also wrote comic poem for the Pet Panther. Oh, I altered that too with that pillow. And did crochet work and portraits. Sylvie has some. I don't know where you... Where did you put those pictures I sewed together? Of birds and a mill. A fly mill. She has them here somewhere.
Good. I'm sure she'll look for them and we'll see them when we come again. Would you like to backtrack a little bit and tell us a little bit about the rest of your family? You only mentioned one child. Is that how many children you
have?
Well,
Bessie, for instance, when she was on the Whitty Street, was a bookkeeper for Pickering's furniture store. Ray, before she came to the office, was a bookkeeper for Weiner Marble Works. She did all their bookkeeping. And Jean was a personal secretary to the Malone, who was a friend, was old Gertrude's friend. Malone, he was head of the Pennsylvania Manufacturing Association, a big insurance company. And Jean was his personal secretary. Eva did housework. And Esther, she was married and lived in Mount Lebanon. And Ray was married to Ben Arnold, my brother-in-law. He was in World War I. By the way, he was an ambassador and drove a motorcycle to the front and back in the line when he was in there. And that was in 1918 or 17. And what else?
Do you want to tell us something about their children, or didn't you have too much to tell about them?
About who?
About your sister and brother's children.
Well, I can say that they were all French, and Aaron's, Shelley's son, Stephen, is an architect.